Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
The shadows have unleashed a forgotten soul. Awaken the evil within. Releasing the havoc that is happening. This presents Halloween Havoc.
Sunday, October 25th, live and only on pay-per-view. Call your cable or satellite company to order now.
Retro. It's the spooky time of the year once again, ladies and gentlemen, so we are going to talk about what we always should talk about this time of year, WCW's Halloween Havoc. Halloween Havoc was, well, I don't have to tell you, it was a Halloween tradition for years. And every year, Halloween still comes around. I still miss it. I still have to, and with the WWE Network for an undisclosed sum of money, as Mick Foley would say, who was in Halloween Havoc or 2 or 3 or 4, you could see these pay-per-views again. And I will be taking part in some Halloween Havoc this coming couple of weeks because it's just not Halloween without it. And that's been a long time. I am the host. WCW Retro here on the VOC Nation. Call in 855-VOC-RADIO, 855-VOC-RADIO to talk to us about Halloween Havoc. I am the host and the above-average comedian, Colin Chico. Follow me on Twitter at DanLaw83, HIC Talk Radio Network. Follow us on Twitter at HIC Talk Radio. With me, as always, is former WCW superstar, Stro, the maestro of wrestling. Stro, how you doing?
Hey, Dan, great to be here. Happy Halloween.
Oh, yes. Happy Halloween. Thank you for the special Friday night edition. Unfortunately, my main show, we had to change the schedule, so I was working around it. So I appreciate once again. I swear I'll get that Bret Hart episode out because for those who don't know, God, it was 2 weeks ago now, we pre-recorded hours before it was supposed to air, we pre-recorded the Bret Hart episode because my fiance was like, let's go to a hockey game. I'm like, well, it's opening night. Only if I can change the schedule with Stro. And Stro was gracious, and Eric was gracious. Sure, we'll do it early. And I set it up twice now, and it still hasn't aired. So I swear, next week, so we'll be on 3 weeks in a row, only we won't have to do anything next week. I am going to sit here next Thursday at 9:30, join us for the pre-taped, finally, Bret Hart episode of WCW Retro. I am going to sit here and make sure the darn thing airs. If I have to kill somebody, it's going to air next week. So join us for, it was on the 9th. So join us for an unheard episode of WCW Retro, and then the week after we'll be back live. But it's Halloween Havoc time. And Stro, I mean, what's Halloween without Halloween Havoc, man?
Oh, absolutely. That's a given.
It really is. I mean, the spooky setup at the stage, the graveyards, the big spooky gargoyle holding the Halloween. And again, I can't say enough that for years it was kind of like Survivor Series for the WWF at Thanksgiving. You knew you were getting a Survivor Series. And for 13, 14 years. I don't know the exact years, but 13, 14 years, Halloween meant Halloween Havoc was coming. And whether for good or for bad, we're not going to focus on bad. We've done that enough on this show. We're only going to focus on the good things in WCW. We'll still talk about, you know, the misfires, but it's all good, my friend. But
bend the wheel, make the deal.
Right. See what I mean? It was all good. In fact, it's funny you mention that because, the snake thing. Well, we're actually going to talk about that in a second. But for good or for bad, Halloween Havoc meant something big was going to go down. It always coincided with Halloween. I mean, you had the Yeti, whereas the Yeti, as Tony would say,
the Master Blaster debuted.
Yes, exactly. So many things happen. We're on the second half of this, whatever time we have a top 10 list that was just released by the WWE. So I figured, you know what, instead of just trying to ramble, we'll go over the top 10 list and talk about, because there are good moments in this list. And whatever time we have left, we will discuss things they perhaps missed on the show. And like I said, if you are in the sound of my voice right now, you want to talk about any Halloween Havoc moment, good or for bad, call in 855-VOC-RADIO. 855-VOC-RADIO, talk to me or the Stro, or if you just want to drop Stro a line, call in, darn it. But number one,
855-VOC-RADIO.
Absolutely, 855-VOC-RADIO. I have it memorized now. I take notes. If you didn't listen to HIAC, I take notes now because I'm OCD, but unfortunately on top of my OCD, I'm very ADD. And that's true. And so if I don't write something down when I have a thought, it goes away. So I write it down now. 855-VOC-RADIO. But the first one, it's funny, Stro, you mentioned this. I'm just going to, before every top number, I'm going to play the audio real quick. But this was number 10, ladies and gentlemen. Spin the wheel, make the deal. Now, Halloween Havoc 92, Jake the Snake versus Sting. And the premise of this match, well, Stro, why don't you explain the premise of this match going in?
Well, I mean, the coal miner's glove match is basically a match where the ones involved are trained to get this coal miner's glove to use on their opponent to have the advantage. And which you have Sting's rivalry with Jake the Snake Roberts. It was a brief rivalry, but nevertheless, it was pretty exciting at the time to have the most, you know, popular icon in WCW wrestle the villainous legendary Jake the Snake Roberts, in which the Snake was promisingly involved in the outcome of that match, if you remember.
Oh yeah, that no down good dirty rotten scoundrel of a man, Cactus Jack, brought the Snake out to the ringside. Now, as a kid, I was there, Philadelphia Civic Center. I had seen two of the Halloween Havocs that were at the Civic Center. I was also, well, we'll talk about that one later, but I was there in this, it was a legendary, I'll say it like this, Stro. The building was a hole, but it was legendary.
Hole.
It was a legendary hole. The arena was built in the 30s, excuse me, so it had that old concrete facade outside where it just looked like an old-fashioned structure. But inside, it was just empty. It just felt empty. But that was WCW's home at the time because before the new arena was built, WWF was in the center and at the Spectrum, and WCW always came to the Civic Center, but I was there to see this. And as a kid, you didn't hate Cactus Jack enough. Jake the Snake comes in and just starts tormenting my boy, Sting. I was a Sting. I was one of those little Stingers. I tried to grow a ponytail every week, and my dad would cut it off when I, you know, long story. He didn't want me growing a tail. But, yeah, the feud, you mentioned the feud. As long as it lasted, and it did not last long, there was a lot of heat going into this match, and it was one of two spin-the-wheel, make-the-deal matches. You had different matches on the wheel, and it landed on Coal Miner's Glove. And he punched him. Sting punched him in the back after the Snake didn't really turn on Roberts, but unfortunately, Roberts was not able to implement it before it started biting him in the cheek. I think it's his fault, Stro, that I don't like snakes.
It's kind of like the movie It is the reason why a lot of people doesn't like clowns.
Yes. Listen, my fiance, it's not the movie It, but it certainly didn't help. She doesn't like clowns. I'll just leave it at that. Great match. It was a good match. I just wish, obviously, Jake the Snake has turned it around, but he could have been a huge asset to that company at the time, and it just didn't last long enough. Number nine. I'll just play this
number
one.
Nine.
On
he took the brunt of that dropkick. Came right back.
He snapped it off. What a move!
The man behind this mask is the only man that's ever eliminated each and every person in his way. Ladies and gentlemen, the next United States Heavyweight Champion, Ravishing Rick Rude!
Rick Rude debuts and is immediately a member of the Dangerous Alliance, the WCW Phantom. As it was billed, it wasn't a long match. He basically just killed Tom Zink. And listen, again, even that young, as soon as he hit the Rude Awakening, I knew Rick Rude was here. Your memories
you
of that.
Anytime you get excited, the microphone is scary.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, man. I would say this, though, and I think you'd agree with me, and I'll let you take your thoughts on this match and Paul Heyman and Rick Rude. But even then, Paul Heyman, and still to this day, I don't even need to say it, one of the best mic guys in the business.
Oh, yeah, what a mind. You know, what a great mind. And at that time, you know, the Dangerous Alliance had so much talent, just, you know, currently. But, you know, I mean, you had Steve Austin, you know, who would go on to be one of the greatest of all time. You know what I mean? Bobby Eaton, Arn Anderson, Larry Zbysko, you know what I mean? Medusa, right? I mean, it's crazy, crazy talent.
The amount of talent, I mean, basically he just wanted to work with guys he liked. And we all know the story about Austin being pushed aside by other people in that company, work with Paul Heyman. And that alliance, you did not mess with them. It was almost like a super four horseman where you didn't only have four guys. Not only did you have not five or six guys to contend with, but you had Medusa, as you said, right around the corner, getting ready to just take you out. Again, another faction that I just, as a kid, you just hated. I hated them.
And Tom Zink, my goodness, you know, first, you know, we're talking about like the Phantom, you know, with the emergence of, you know, Ravishing Rick Rude. You know, and then when it, like, one of the, if I was gone, maybe it was one of the Havocs where, like, Vader made his debut. When Vader made his debut in WCW, you know, with the big headdress and everything. And
I think you might be right. I can't, oh, man. I'll bring that up in a second because I think you might be right at that. I think it was a Havoc. I'm going to bring that up in a second. Number eight, coming at you right now. If I can hit the button. I had this planned out. Here we go. Number eight.
Sharpshooter, the man's out. It doesn't matter him.
It's academic, isn't it?
That's the only way Sting.
He won't be able to tap it out if he's out.
Yeah, but Billy Silverman's checking with him to see if he's out. I mean,
he's not moving. Grant.
It's over. It's over. Oh, baloney.
I'm just being facetious.
I try to keep my composure. Every time I hear that call, I laugh. Halloween Havoc 98. Bret Hart versus Sting. And Bobby, when something serious goes down, Bobby comes in with a damn joke, and he can never take it seriously. Oh, man. Yeah, but Sting and Bret Hart, I'll tell you how I feel, then Stro, you can talk about this. I mean, this was a culmination of a huge feud. I mean, everybody talks about, you know, when is Sting going to be in the WWE? Who's he going to match? Everybody's talking about at least one more match. Who's he going to fight? Everybody's talking about, Undertaker, fighting Undertaker. But when both companies were around, I don't think anybody else could look at Bret Hart without looking at Sting and vice versa. I mean, at a certain point in time, very parallel in their career, moving up the ranks around the same time, the finishing hold, we don't have to talk about the sharpshooter and the scorpion deathlock. The bright colors, pink and black, Sting, all kinds of bright colors. He did wear pink and black when him and Kachuchak fought at Beach Blast 92. And this was Wolfpack, Sting, and NWO Bret Hart. And Bret Hart, 2 weeks before that, double-crossed him. I'm not going to go into the whole thing because it was a long, long time coming. What side is Bret Hart on? It was a match between Hogan and Hart. Hart got injured. Sting replaced Bret Hart. Sting gets him in a scorpion deathlock. Bret Hart comes back out and DDTs him in the middle of the ring, showing his true colors. And this was the culmination. And Bret Hart got a huge win over Sting. I mean, they would fight later on and have classic matches at a time people looked down upon WCW. But this was the first time they wrestled each other. And past how it ended, which was part of storyline, Sting was going to leave for a little while. Fantastic match. Stro, your thoughts.
Yeah, classic between Bret Hart and Sting. And like you said, they had similarities throughout their career in a lot of ways. And to see them finally go at it in a feud, there in WCW was a real treat, for any wrestling fan. That's kept up with both their careers. And, Bret Hart and Sting feud was like one of my favorite feuds, actually, at the time, going on in WCW, just because of that fact, that anybody's kept up with them both, the similar finishing holds, similarities in so many ways. And, it definitely was a classic. And, you mentioned like Sting, now the excitement about Sting and WWE, who should have his like big match with, so many things that pop in your head, especially anybody recalls the great career that Sting has had. So, it definitely was a classic.
I've said it before and I'll say it 100 times. I had the pleasure of seeing Sting and Bret Hart live at the Spectrum on a Nitro. It was the second hour main. It was that first. You know how you were there. They would do the at 9 o'clock. They'd do the first main event, like the early main event, to go against the first hour of Raw, and that was the first main event. That Spectrum, Bret Hart and Sting, 22-25. It was damn near half hour, and what can I say about those two? Unbelievable match. So I had the pleasure of seeing one of those matches. It didn't end the way we all wanted, but those two, other than that Spectrum match, would have matches. They wrestled each other in the WCW title tournament at Mayhem in 99 later on, again at Halloween Havoc. They've had a bunch of matches together. If you talk about Flair and Sting being the best feud Sting ever had, number two would be Vader or Jack. It would be Cactus Jack, Vader, or Bret Hart. You got to pick one of those three. It's a tie.
Right.
Number seven. Yeah, number seven's a big one. Here we go.
Sounds like bagpipes to me.
Oh, no.
Wow! Will you look at this? Yes! You know who that is!
My goodness! Roddy Piper!
No doubt about it.
Now, Roddy Piper, Halloween Havoc 96, in the middle of that terrible first year that the NWO was running roughshod over everybody in WCW, Roddy Piper came in as the savior. I mean, you talk about guys that were WWF guys for years. Piper came in and just... Remember when the Warrior debuted on Nitro, the look on Hogan's face? When Piper came out, Hogan's face was classic. Stro, your thoughts on Piper debuting?
Oh, yeah, that was big, man. You know, when Piper came out and the ovation he got, and I mean, like you said, look at Hogan's face and the big face-to-face confrontation they had. I mean, what? That was huge. And what a buildup. I mean, so much history with Hogan and Piper. And it was, you know, it's funny, you know, that this match, you know, it was Hogan and Savage for the title. I remember one time back when Savage had the championship, you know, he was walking. I was talking to him in an holster in the back, and he was getting ready to do a title defense on the Nitro, and he's like walking down halfway down the aisle, and I noticed that he had his belt backwards on his face. And I was in a rush. You know, I'm trying to run, catch him down the aisle to, you know, to stop him, and then I finally caught up, and I said, dude, look, just change your belts backwards upside down. And he looked, oh my God, you know, put back up. I didn't be bad at him walking out like looking dyslexic. But,
backwards, brother.
But yeah, I mean, the history alone with Piper and Hogan is tremendous. All the way back to WrestleMania, the first WrestleManias, and you know, the Rock and wrestling connection, you know, I mean, it's huge.
Yeah, and we talked about the blow off of this at the, well, there was another match at Super Brawl, and there was another match in Uncensored, but the main blow off of this was we talked about it on the Starrcade episode, but for 2 months these guys built this matchup, and it was for a little while on WCW TV, it was like the 80s again, and I mean that in a good way, because they, you know, you had Piper at Alcatraz going crazy, and Hogan just taunting him, and that's when Bischoff finally revealed his true colors, and that attack on Piper, which was a huge moment on Nitro. I mean, this was built beautifully, and if I remember correctly, Piper actually won cleanly, and Hogan, and they still don't acknowledge that win. They still don't, Joe.
Oh, yeah, and the dreaded sleeper hold, if you call it Piper's patent move, you know what I mean? A la Johnny Weaver, the Weaver lock. He's, you know, a little few years back, you know, with Dusty Rhodes and this feud with Lex Luger for the U.S. title.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great moment, and I remember him just telling him, you know, Hogan went on for months about, I am the one that made this business, and Piper coming out and telling them, hey, man, this is the way it is. You are wrong. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. This next one, number five, and after number five, we're going to take a break because we're doing what we do best and actually talking about these moments and filling up content better than I expected I could, because you are a professional, Stro. Number six.
Yeah, but same to you. Thank you. Same to you. I do what I can when I do. Yeah.
Exactly. Number six is one that we've talked about before. We're going to hear the audio, and I'm going to get mad all over again, but here's number six.
Pull yourself to that corner and make that tag. That's the only thing that will save you, Stinger.
He's
and
up.
Here we go.
He's up.
It was a plan. It was set up. You don't walk, talk, or breathe unless the horsemen want you to.
So, Halloween Havoc 95. Earlier on, about September, Arn Anderson finally had enough of Ric Flair, so it would seem, and told him, it's you and me now, buddy. We're going to take care of this. You can't hide behind me forever, and you and I are going to go at it. And they had a great match at Fall Brawl, which ended up with Brian Pillman kicking Flair in the head. And we talk about Jake the Snake's devastating DDT, but Arn Anderson's DDT was no soft DDT. Great DDT. Won the match, so they set up a match. Flair wants to fight Pillman and Anderson at Halloween Havoc. And Anderson dares him, find somebody that doesn't hate you, sign somebody that you haven't upset so much that they won't help you, and come at us. And he goes to Sting, and he begs Sting for help. And Sting finally agrees to it. If you swerve me in the slightest little bit, I'm going to leave you for dead, he says. Well, wouldn't you know it? Flair double crosses him. An unbelievable, one of my favorite moments and favorite reactions, not only from Bobby, but from the crowd. It was another moment that was executed beautifully to get back on track, because everybody talks about how, well, I'm not sure why Flair and Anderson are even feuding. Well, they got it back on track 100% with this. It was a double cross of the year, kicking Sting in the gut and just devastating him and going back to the Four Horsemen. And it was beautiful, even as somebody who despised the Horsemen and was a Sting guy. It was beautiful. Stro, your thoughts?
Will Sting ever learn? Once a Horseman, always a Horseman. Woo!
Pretty much. He said it beautifully, Stro. I mean, he'll never learn.
And Pillman, you know, you're watching Pillman at that time. You know, when I watch Ambrose now on Raw, I mean, and the similarities are just creepy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're right, man.
It's surreal.
You're absolutely right. You know what? The thought didn't even cross my mind until you just mentioned it. That's a very good point. He is a little bit like, he's a lot like Pillman. And, you know, going back, it's funny, you mentioned Pillman. I'm glad you said this because I've kept wanting to say this in different episodes, and I keep forgetting this, and I'm glad you brought this up. Going back and watching those old Nitros makes me miss Pillman 10 times more than I did before. He was so awesome on that show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Amazing. And it's like the crazier he got, the better he got. The more entertaining.
Pretty much. And the more people thought that he was legit crazy, the better it came off on TV, quite frankly.
And if we call this, if I'm not mistaken, this is like before Pillman said the infamous words, I respect you, Booker man.
Yes. Oh, I just passed that. What was that? That was Super Bowl 96. That was Super Bowl 96. I literally just watched that when I was, as I was recovering from my second hand surgery. I was catching up on the Nitros and the pay-per-views, and I'm literally at the Nitro 2 weeks after Super Bowl. I just watched that today. But I watched Super Bowl when I still had a splint on, and I forgot that was coming. And I laughed my butt off again because I think it was like, 2 weeks later? He was at ECW?
Right. He was like wrestling the pencil, if you recall. He did a promo where he was wrestling the pencil.
Yeah.
trying to get booked. So he wrestled a big giant pencil trying to get booked.
I remember that. We also passed, and they left it in the tentative, of course, but the Clash of Champions where he touches Bobby, and Bobby just cusses.
Get the F off of me.
What were you doing? And I will say this before we go to a break. Some of the anti-Hulk Hogan commentary, I've forgotten some of those gold, the gold that Bobby would spew when Hogan was on top. Oh, he's been doing this for years. Nobody can tell Hogan no. Well, finally someone's telling him no. I miss him too, man. Oh, it was gold.
I remember hearing one time talking to Bischoff, the commentator, and Bischoff said, he's holding up the four fingers. That's the sign of the Four Horsemen. And then Tommy says, well, with Hulk Hogan, you only need one finger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pretty much. On that note, my friend, we're going to take a break, a little halftime break, and we will return with the second half of this list. It's a good list. Getting a lot of memories in, but we'll be right back here on our Halloween Havoc 2014 retrospective. We'll be right back.
This is CeeLo Brown, and right here, right now, you better recognize that I am down with the VOC Nation. Recognize that.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, TheBradyHicks.com, and for the first time ever, VOCNation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, VOCNation.com, TheBradyHicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today, and so much more.
Okay, Philadelphia parents, listen up. Do you have a child in the house that's just about to learn how to drive? Well, you got to do this. You got to head over to DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com. Best of Bucks County 2013. Keep that insurance down. Keep them accident-free. 215-639-990. They're endorsed by the Pennsylvania Police Officers Association, DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com.
Business owners, prepare to take charge. Get the latest trends in business and technology every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, presented by NetCarrier. Tweet your business questions in advance at NetCarrier using the hashtag TakeChargeTuesday or call live toll-free at 1-855-VOC-RADIO.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed as if a demolition team set off. When you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, it pulled it down on itself and it is not.
We are live with Carmine Confidential.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
Listen to Carmine Confidential. Weekdays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, telling you fans worldwide to visit VOCNation.com. VOC Nation gives you top-notch interviews, insightful blogs, and, of course, the VOC Wrestling Nation radio program. The VOC Wrestling Nation radio program is live every Wednesday with the hottest guests, the latest news, and lots of fun from the greatest team in wrestling media headed by the voice of choice. Hey, take it from me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. VOCNation.com is the place to go, baby.
Hola, hola, hola. I am Shelly Funtime Martinez.
And I am Dazzling Danielle.
And together we are
the Martinez Girls.
Tune in on VOC Nation at 7 p.m. Eastern
every Saturday. And until then, Danielle, I and you are Audi 5000. Adios, toodles.
The godless voice of Crab Nation.
None of these assholes would have the balls to say any of this to anyone live.
I get hard as one of them stones. I'm going to hurl at a homosexual.
He's got 6 ounces of weed, and he's saving his roaches?
Bangable and diabetic.
Park the car keys.
This is Stevie Wonder.
Free speech zone should just be the air, motherfucker.
Catch the crowds on Crab Nation Live weekdays.
Noon to 2 p.m. Pacific, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation.
Entertainment with an attitude.
Fear is just one enemy.
This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Careers are on the line, Marine. It's these type of things that drive these two men, the two greatest ever, ever in professional wrestling. The big butt.
The leg, not the leg.
He's dragging Flair to team. He drops the leg.
No, please, man. Please. I'll be done.
I'll never do that. One. Two.
Oh, my God.
Number 5. Halloween Havoc 94. Hogan and Flair in the cage. careers were on the line, people. Stroke careers were on the line, and unfortunately, for the like second or third time in his career, Flair lost and had to retire. Mr. T was the special referee. Well, he was the special enforcer, which gave him referee abilities, I guess. But there was actually
Mama there too?
No, Mama was not. No, his mama was. He loves his mama. Hey, Bobby, again, we talked about Bobby and Auntie Hogan. That was a fantastic call by Bobby. So I swear I'll never do anything bad again. It just didn't work out for Bobby that night. Your thoughts, Stro?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Flair and Hogan, another classic, you know what I mean? And this time, you know, the stipulation was on the line where if he lost, he was forced to retire. And which, you know, we all know now, you know, he came back not too long later. Right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, and, I mean, you had, like, Mr. T, you know, in one corner, and the late Sherry Martel, God rest her soul, in her in Flair's corner. And thank goodness it wasn't Piper, because that had been kind of ugly with a feud with Piper and Mr. T. You know what I mean?
I've heard.
Wow. But, another classic, Hogan, retains. And, it's just, the whole retirement, situation was kind of what's silly, you know, being that, you know, Flair would come back later. And I think Flair talks about in his book where it's like, he didn't think it made much sense being that he was going to come back anyway. And there was like a masked man who had attacked Hogan. after the match, and later it turns out to be Brother Brutai.
I remember. Yeah, that was the
man of many names. You know, the Booty Man, and God knows what else he was called. The Zodiac from the Dungeon of Doom.
Wasn't he the Butcher by Starrcade or something? He was the Butcher, I believe.
Yeah. But he's had so many names. I mean, goodness, he's had more nicknames than Kevin Nash.
Yes.
You know, Oz being Vegas, and geez, I mean, just the list goes on. But Brother Brutai was the guy that later be revealed that was the masked guy attacked Hogan after the match with him and Flair. So, I mean, like you said, another classic, you know, with Hogan and Flair. You can't go wrong. I mean, one of the most popular wrestlers in the history of the business. Hulk Hogan wrestling, the legendary Nature Boy. You know, I mean, you can, these guys could go in a match blindfolded and have a classic.
Yeah, you said it perfectly.
Well, then again, I don't know. Let me take that back. But things do happen. Anything could happen. But, you have two of the very best.
More to the point, Stro, when those two got into the ring, And people, years later, people say, you know, Hogan was a very good worker. Yeah, okay, fine, I'll give you that. But on the other hand, and we talked about that match at Bash of the Beach before his debut match. When Flair and Hogan got into the ring, those two could just do it blindly, as you said. They didn't have to think about it. They didn't have to plan it out. It was gold for the worker that Hogan was. When those two got in the ring, they made each other – they looked like $1 million. And you just wanted Flair to get his butt kicked every single time. It was like when every time he went into the ring with Sting, you just wanted to see Flair to lead. And match is no exception.
I know with wrestlers that were on events with guys like, you know, Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair, I know afterwards we would come and thank them, you know, for being on the show, because they're the ones that drew the money. They drew the people. And, I mean, even now with Hulk Hogan, I mean, you know, wherever he appears, I mean, people just flock to him. You know what I mean? And certain people, like, even, you know, John Cena, for example, you know, in WWE, you know what I mean? He has, you know, people like him, people that, you know, not so much. But, you know, when he's on the show, people come to see him. You know what I mean? It's
exactly.
Some people, you know, So that's, you know, and basically that's just the bottom line, you know, of the business. You know, we want people to come see us, right? So, you know, God bless them.
You know what, Stro, and I know you'll this will be close to your heart being a wrestler still. It was Paul Heyman on Chris Jericho's podcast that, you know, people say, oh, Cena sucks, and, oh, he's not a good worker. And I bet you he goes home at night with everybody booing him, and he tries to figure out what he's doing wrong. And Paul was like, no, he doesn't. You're reacting. That's what he wants. Whether you boo him or cheer him, you're reacting. That's exactly the job he's supposed to do. He doesn't go home and cry. He doesn't go home and complain. You're reacting. End of story.
That's it. And you know, with Hogan, he was on top, and he still does. I mean, he's very active with people, very active in the social media community, very active with a lot of people in media in general. So it's like they go above and beyond what a pro wrestler should do, you know what I mean? And media, entertainment,
yeah,
et cetera. So it's like, thank God for people like Hulk Hogan and John Cena in the business. You know what I mean? Because they're the people that draw the people in, you know, and get that reaction, like Damon said.
Yeah, exposure is good for everybody. I won't go into what I was about to say. I'll talk to you about that privately, my other point. But it's, never mind, because somebody might hear it might get mad at me. Number four, sir, coming up.
Well, I'll tell you about, I don't know about Hummingbird, but Eddie Guerrero has mounted a tremendous offense.
Right there.
I've never seen anything
into
like
the
this.
Clean head scissors on the floor.
This is from the middle. Time to go.
Yes.
What a fight.
1997. I'm just going to let you talk about this, and then I'll talk about it. I don't need to say anything else about this. 97. Rey Mysterio Jr. versus Eddie Guerrero for the Cruiserweight Championship. Go on about it.
What a feud, and what some great matches we saw with Rey Mysterio Jr. and Eddie Guerrero. I mean, and this match right here opened the eyes to a lot of people all over the world. These guys made Cruiserweight Division Wrestling, Lucha Libre Wrestling, stand out. And made people take notice. I mean, and you know, there was a conversation not too long ago. I think it was on. I was watching on the WWE Network about the Cruiserweight division and what a great impact it had on World Championship Wrestling and wrestling in general. And the fact that, you know, certain guys made that division stand out, and not only were they great in a Cruiserweight division, they can be great in any division. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I brought the point too, that, you know, it doesn't matter how big or small you are. Talent is talent. And you got to strike that iron while it's hot. And these guys, I mean, Rey Mysterio Jr. and Eddie Guerrero would be main event anywhere in the world, hands down. I mean, and these guys, amazing talents, amazing wrestlers. And I mean, you're talking, these guys have been wrestling since they're almost infants. You know what I mean? it's in their blood. They've wrestled all their life, and come from families and generations of wrestlers that have wrestled all their life. So I mean, you can't help but to be good and great at your craft. And these two are the very best.
I just remember, I think 2 minutes into that match, my jaw had dropped. And I still think I'm picking my jaw up off the floor on that one. Just, I can't say enough about those two. And of course, God rest Eddie Guerrero's soul, because to the day he died, he was one of the best in the business. But just flawless in every way, that match. Absolutely flawless. And I can't believe that Rey Mysterio won in that fashion. The stuff he was pulling up, I mean, you know, everybody says years later, he's not the same he used to be. Well, yeah, he's older. He's had six knee surgeries. Of course he's not the same as he used to be. But back in those days, even Eddie Guerrero, but Rey Mysterio was pulling stuff out of thin air that you couldn't believe was humanly possible with bones. You know, and he was just, he was like made of jelly or something. An unbelievable match. And those are one of those things I'll say that was too early in the card because you had a pay-per-view that they had to, everybody had to follow that.
I would refuse to follow that match, seriously. No way. You know what I mean? My God. I mean, Rey Mysterio Jr. back then was so fast, I couldn't keep up with him. I mean, he was that quick. He was amazing to watch. And him and Eddie Guerrero together, my God, dear Lord. It was just some amazing, amazing wrestling art. That wrestling art form at its best.
Stro, you're going up next. I'm not going.
No. I'll be dark match. I don't care. It's the first I'm dark. Forget about it.
Yeah. Number three, I have to apologize ahead of time, but we're going to get a lot of mileage out of this one. Here goes number three, ladies and gentlemen.
Connor's going to fight for his life. Oh, he's belly to belly to boot. He's got Abdullah in there. He's belly to belly. What strength by Rick Steiner. Back to start. Rick Steiner's in there, but it's Abdullah. Texas Jack thought it was Rick Steiner.
One of the most absurd, but at the same time, sir, one of the most awesome moments in WCW and Halloween Havoc history, the Chamber of Horrors match 1991 and the electrocution of Abdullah the Butcher. I can't believe he's still alive, Stro.
Me neither. I can't believe people were live watching that match. My goodness, that match was crazy. Dear Lord. I mean, Abdullah Butcher getting the shock treatment, no pun intended.
Yeah.
And,
you know.
God, but look at the talent they had in that match. My gosh, the Steiner brothers, Sting, Vader, Scott Hall, Diamond Stud, you know, Cactus Jack. Jeez.
Yeah, you beat me to it. That was exactly the next point I was going to make. It's just the amount of talent in that ring is basically the future of the business in that ring at that point. And they're opening up the show. Again, I'll bring it up because maybe nobody's heard the story before or seen the match. If you have the WWE Network, go to Halloween Havoc 91. It's the first match on the card. It'll take 15 minutes of your time. Watch this. Because what I love about it, and you and I have both mentioned it before, when the somebody takes a hit, it's like a minute into the match, somebody gets slammed onto the ring, and the switch falls down. And instead of ignoring it, the director zooms in on it. Hey, the switch fell down. Everybody take a look at this.
Gotta love the camera angle.
The referee cam, too, was the little camera on top of the hockey helmet. That's beautiful, too. But you know what? They took a good idea. They used the Thunderdome cage where you could wrestle. It was basically, I don't want to see the precursor, but it really was the precursor to the Hell in the Cell where the cage surrounded the ring and you could go to the outside, but you were still surrounded by the ring, the cage, and, you know, slam somebody about against it. And it was really good or for bad. Again, I use that phrase a lot, but it was revolutionary in design, I feel.
That was about as crazy as when the Thunderdome match where they caught on fire and Muda blew it out with his mist.
That was, you reminded me. That was what I was going to mention earlier. The other Halloween Havoc I was at the Civic Center, was that year, 6 years old, way up at the top of the Civic Center, and the first and one of the early matches on the card is Thunderdome, and I was there for that live too. I don't remember the fire because I was six, but I do know it happened, and that was at Philadelphia, my friend.
and the thing was, back to the 91 Halloween Havoc, it started off with this huge match, right? no shocking match, rather, excuse me. And then the next match was Big Josh and Pia News defeating the Creatures, Joey Maggs and Johnny Rich.
I couldn't even remember them. I had to look them at them. I'm like, I remember those guys. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
At least you don't have to follow Guerrero and Mysterio.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. My goodness. But, yeah. Yeah. the Creatures. Joey Maggs and Johnny Rich, man. What a team.
Yeah. Wow. You know what I'm going to do after this? I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch that because I need to see that whole show now. Number two, we're getting to the down and dirty. Number two, if you're listening, once again, 855 VOC Radio, share your thoughts of Halloween Havoc. Here's number two, folks.
History is being made tonight, Bishop. You realize that? History is being made. These two 11,000-pound, 1,500-horsepower, alcohol-burning monster sumo trucks doing what has never been done before. And you are seeing it at Halloween Havoc as you get a good look at Hogan, and he is really muscling this truck. It must be hard to hold on to this machine.
It is. There's a lot going on with that size tire, man. That must weigh. Oh, I think he's got it.
He's
going to
take
it out.
He won it.
Very good.
Yeah, he's going to run him right off the roof there. But the sumo monster truck, man, I'll tell you this, as a fan of both, I expected this to be awesome, and it was awesome. It might not have been great, but awesome is the word for monster trucks on the roof of an arena. But this was also that moment where not only did Hogan defeat Giant in the sumo monster truck match, but he threw him off a roof, okay? And that's just not right. Hogan is a dirty, no-good, rotten person, Stro.
I tell you, watching this match, I don't know if I was watching Halloween Havoc or ESPN. I mean, my goodness, you see all these monster trucks, and then it looked like I was watching the news. I was seeing him fall off the side of a building. Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, It was anything but a wrestling contest, but I mean, hey, it was entertainment.
I don't think we have to. I think it bears mentioning that this was the night where Giant and the Yeti dry humped Hogan in the middle of the ring. Yeah, you know,
much for that PG, right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you could classify it as an episode in the Animal Planet.
Pretty much, yeah. I only found out later. I think actually, I probably found out through you that was actually Big Reach, who later came in as the Flock, the big member of the Flock. He was the Yeti down from the power plant. But I'm so glad
Reese?
That they did. I believe it was, or who was it?
Oh, dear Lord! If it's Reese, yeah. Oh my goodness! Try riding a plane ride with him, with you in the window. Oh, my God. Brutal.
Yeah, it was Big Reese, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Ron Reese, big guy. What is he? God, he's like 7'1 or 7'2 or something.
Oh, yeah, huge.
Man, that's crazy. That's a big man. Stro, we're at number one. I'm not going to bury this here. I'm just going to play this, and we're going to talk about it because I remember this very clear, being that Sting is involved. Here's number one, Halloween Havoc Countdown.
Coming to the boy, jump! He's up! He stands up! The man is a winner in Vegas! But he's not done!
No, not yet at all!
He points to the roof of the MGM Grand!
Sting versus Goldberg, Halloween Havoc 99, the MGM Grand Garden Arena. This was heel Sting. This was very convoluted at the time because this was heel Sting, which wasn't really heel Sting because by that point everybody was still cheering him. But he was still playing the heel. Sting called out anybody because there was a bunch of injuries and no-shows and a bunch of turmoil going on at the company at that point, with the talent at least, people just not being able to show up, people getting hurt. And so they worked out that Sting and Goldberg would be the main event, which was a great wrestling match. The next night, that title was held up, and that's how we had the title tournament at WCW Mayhem. But all in all, a great match. Again, this you talked about the Cruiserweight episode of the Monday Night Wars. There was a recent episode running right after that. It was Goldberg. People talk about how he wasn't a great worker. But you got two classic matches out of Goldberg, two Halloween Havocs in a row. And Sting jobbed Goldberg and gave him his second world title win. And it was actually today. It was today in 1999 that match took place at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Stro, your thoughts, Goldberg versus Sting?
Two of the most popular WCW wrestlers in the history of WCW, Goldberg and Sting. And, Sting turned... Making him a heel Sting during that time, it was just, in my opinion, it was just a bad idea. I remember one time it was on Nitro, him and Benoit were in the ring, and, Benoit was a fan favorite, and, Sting was a heel. And then right during the match, they stopped and looked at each other because people were still cheering wildly for Sting, right? And then, like, right in the middle of the match, it was like they did a total role reversal because the people were just loving Sting so much. You know, it's like when they try to turn Austin heel or so forth, and, and people still cheering, Steve Austin, like crazy. You know what I mean? And so it's just one of those, some people after a while, it's like when people start to like accept you and to take you in, I mean, you love no matter what. So, as certain guys fall, getting that in, falling that fade, and Sting's just one of them, because Sting is just so well loved and so popular, by the fans all over the world.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I mean, Sting was going to be one of those guys that I followed as a heel or a face anyway, because I if it was going to work as a heel, I was going to like a heel then, because I liked Sting that much. So I booed. Because that was what you were supposed to do, but, it lasted about a week.
right.
I will say this. It's a good list, but what I want to do to the end of this show is I want you, I'll mention one moment I think they missed, and then I want you to mention one moment that I think, that you think they missed. I'm going to bring up another Goldberg match. And it's the one I just touched upon. What I feel should be on this list, again, going back to people talking about Goldberg not being able to work very well, yet at Halloween Havoc 98, the same venue, MGM Grand, Las Vegas, DDP and Goldberg, quite frankly, might have had the match of the year in WCW that year. Unfortunately, it was the same night that the pay-per-view, nobody was managing time that evening, apparently. Nobody saw it until the next night on Nitro, but I think you would agree with me that if it was one of the matches of the year, if not match of the year, sir.
Oh, by far. What a classic. Classic match. I mean, man, I thought so anyway.
Yeah, I mean, DDP was enacting his claws and winning more games that year, and those two... Again, you talk about Hogan and Flair, those two made each other look like $1 million. It really was good. Stro, is there one moment you can pull off that you think should have been on this list, sir?
Oh, well, one for sure was the Thunderdome match for Halloween Havoc. The big tag, I mentioned that earlier, with Muda and Terry Funk wrestling Ric Flair and Sting. Hands down, I mean, what a classic. What a classic that was. Ole Anderson was a special enforcer,
recall,
in that match. It was tremendous. I mean, tremendous match, I thought. It was you know, yet, you know, four great wrestlers in the ring. And this was the midst of the big feud. Terry Funk at the time with Nature Boy Ric Flair, you know, for the title. And Sting and Luda were, you know, feuding for the TV title at the time. And it was, I mean, classic matchup.
And that's the thing. Maybe the Thunderdome wasn't a great idea, but that match was a great match. You had four technicians as far as psychology in the ring together. What I love about that match also, not only Ole Anderson being out there, but one of my favorite managers who didn't get a lot of WCW fame, but he was famous as far as Texas wrestling and world class goes, but Gary Hart was out there, and Gary
oh,
Hart
yeah.
was always one of And just those six people, it was gold. And like I said, that was at the beginning of the show. And it was an unbelievable match. So I would agree with you.
And, you know, Bruno Sammartino was also special guest referee for that match as well.
That's
I mean,
right.
he had all the elements, I mean, for a great main event right there. I mean, historically. And I used to love the Funk promos leading up to it, you know, talking about Electrify with the Thunderdome match. And I mean, between him and Gary Hart, you know, because I used to love Gary Hart when every time he said Kabuki, you know. Those guys had the best promos ever.
Gary Hart was another one of those Paul Heyman talker types, one of the best talkers in the business. This has been fun, Stro. I always like to talk about Halloween Havoc. It's one of my favorite events. And again, if anybody is hearing the sound of my voice, if you have the network and you're thinking, you know, maybe I should watch these events, start from the beginning, work your way to the, because they're great. There are classics at this show. I mean, we didn't talk about Piper and Hogan in the cage in 97, Goldberg, DDP, like I said, Sting and classic matches in Halloween Havoc. So go out there, $9.99. WWE Network. It's not the WCW Network. That'd be a different world. But the WWE Network, watch Halloween Havoc. It's been fun, Stro. It's Halloween. What are you doing? I know you have Dracula's War trailers debuting soon. I know that you got another show. Hollow Oak is debuting. So what do you got coming up this Halloween week?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I just got off the set. For a new series on ABC coming up that should be starting in mid-December called Secrets and Lies. And tomorrow I'm going to be on set again for a comedy film I'm currently filming called Epic Dream, which is about a surfer having all these crazy dreams. And I'm president of the biker club that keeps throwing them out of different places. So... pretty well. I mean, last time we were on set, we had like a clown and, you know, a pirate and it's nuts. Yeah, but once it's done, I'll definitely keep you informed on that. But next November 1st, I'll be defending Trans South Wrestling Heavyweight Championship back in Union, South Carolina. You know, I got WrestleCade coming up November 29th and a big battle royal with like Vader and Steiner, BWO, Shane Douglas. Gosh, like the who's who, you know, and the winner gets to take on, be the number one contender to the WrestleCade Heavyweight Championship, who's currently holding Matt Hardy. And that'll be November 29th in Winston-Salem at the Benton Convention Center. And, yeah, a lot of things going on. I'm making my way back to West Virginia soon for IWWA Pro Wrestling, which they just had a pay-per-view this past Sunday called Givers and Takers in the Go Fight Live Network. And you know, of course, I got Dracula's War trailer coming out next month and the Hollow Oak movie premiere next month as well. So and I'm getting ready to go in production soon for a horror series called Urban Legends to Die For, in which I'll be in the first episode as the first urban legend, Mad Dog Max, with a hook in my hand. It's like Captain Hook gone bad, you know. But But for more information, you know, what's going on with, you know, the wrestling and the film and TV and all that, just go to my official website at www.thestro.com find me on Twitter at The Stro, T-H-E-S-T-R-O, and I'm on Facebook at Stro the Maestro.
Wing them all, Stro. Wing them all.
Yes, sir.
For those interested in following the adventures of Dan Colachico, that is myself, follow me on Twitter at DanLaw83, the HIAC Talk Radio Network. Follow us on Twitter at HIAC Talk Radio, and just go to HIACTalkRadio.com, or just go to Google and type in HIAC Talk Radio. We're all there. Obey the Puck, Monday night. All the hockey, latest hockey news, all hockey everywhere. Wednesday night, our MMA and wrestling and pop culture podcast. Wednesday nights at 9, HIAC Talk Radio. Like I said, we're going to be 3 weeks here. Next week is our taped interview, taped episode, finally, of Bret Hart's career in WCW. I will be making sure it airs next week. Come hell or high water, it will air. Hell yes.
Then I forgot to mention, next Tuesday, I'll be back on In the Room with Brady Hicks on VOC Nation. We had a great interview this past week with Nick Eugene Densmore, which is really cool. So, I'll be back next week for that show.
That's right. Derek is sometimes in the room, and so is Brady Hicks. BradyHicks.com. Follow him at the Brady Hicks, and just follow us. Give us feedback. Call us 855-VOC-RADIO. That's it. We'll be back next week with the Bret Hart pre-taped, and then we'll be back live the week after. Happy Halloween, everybody. We'll see you next week. Good night.